This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Everybody, Sherry Pipe in for Gail this morning from the Auto Collision Specialists here at 1310 KFKA. Welcome to the line, House District 51 Representative and Minority Leader Hugh McKean. Hugh, are you there? Hugh? Did we lose you? Uh-oh. We will try to get Hugh back, see what's going on. And in the meantime, Hugh is... Hugh is coming on this morning to talk about some of the bills that have come up this session, as well as what is going we are going to be looking at in the future. And you know, one of the things I pulled a story from the Colorado Sun, and it's titled "Colorado Lawmakers Passed 502 Bills During This Year's Legislative Session. Here are 65 that you need to know about." Okay. We have 502 bills that we passed and only 65 that we need to know about. I want to know about the other 437, because it seems to me that if you do the math, 502 bills over a 120-day session gives you four a day, passing an average of four bills a day. When, in technicality, the way the bill system works, you introduce a bill, it goes to committee, it then goes to the floor of the chamber that it was introduced in, and it's on first reading, and then second reading, and then third reading, and I'm getting a message that I don't know if I can read. I can't read it. I don't have my glasses on. I am so bad. I think it's supposed to say something about something's wrong with our phone system, and my producer is trying to get Hugh on the line, so hopefully we'll get him on here shortly. Anyway, Hugh, if you're listening, I apologize. You might want to try to call in, too, 970-353-1310. Anyway, we have 502 bills that we've introduced or that we've passed, and we only need to know about 65 of them. No, I want to know about the other 437, because that's a lot of bills to just say to the constituents out there, nope, sorry, you don't need to know about these. Everything is fine. Everything's dandy. The more troubling for me, not more troubling, but the other troubling thing for me is there was 623 bills introduced, and of the 623 bills, 502 were passed. So only 121 bills failed. What we were literally passing almost every bill that came before us. And I can guarantee you, of the 121 bills that kind of failed or that failed, probably the bulk of those, my guess, were introduced by Republicans. Are we having any luck? Nope, still no luck with the phones. I am so sorry, Hugh. I don't know what's going on. So we'll get started on, I want to go over some of these. I highlighted some of these 65 bills that the Colorado Sun has pointed out. And one of them, and I just want to make sure that I know where I'm at here, and I apologize. The first one would be Senate Bill 175. It addressed a soaring cost of certain prescription drugs. The legislation would create a state board to determine whether drugs are affordable or not. Well, gee, okay, one more bureaucracy to determine whether or not something is affordable. Affordable to whom? Affordable to me on a journalist salary, or affordable to the senators and the congressmen on their salary, or affordable to the guy working at McDonald's on his salary? Who gets to decide what's affordable and what's not affordable? And so then this board would then be able to set maximum prices that can be charged for drugs in Colorado. Well, that may all sound fine and dandy for some people, that maybe we should have a cap on prescription drugs, that prescription drugs are, you know, too high priced and out of reach for some people. There is no doubt about that. Is this really what we want to do? Is this really the path that we want to go down? Because I can guarantee you the cost of those will get offset somewhere else. They'll get offset in something else that's wrong. Then we have Senate Bill 142. That was Medicaid patients seeking an abortion will be able to access the procedure at more facilities under this measure. Great. I'm just going to leave that one there. You decide what you want, but I'm not really exactly sure that we should be allowing Medicaid to be used as or allow Medicaid to pay for an abortion when in many cases some people use that as a form of birth control versus anyway. Senate Bill 9. Under this bill, low-income people who otherwise qualify for certain government health programs but are not eligible because they are living in the U.S. illegally would get access to free reproductive care, including birth control and abortions paid for by the state. Here we go again. Now we have the state being responsible for the health care that includes abortions and birth control for people that don't live here, people that are not citizens here. I can guarantee you if I went to Mexico and needed an abortion or needed reproductive care, Mexico's not going to pay for that for me. Mexico's not going to pay for much of anything for me. Right now, the only thing Mexico is paying for people that are there that are not citizens is COVID testing and staying in a resort for a couple of extra weeks because you have to be quarantined because that's what our president says. And they don't want to destroy their travel industry. So they're giving that away for free. So that's yet one more of those. Then let's see here. We have Ryan looks really frustrated, and I am so sorry, everybody. And Hugh, if you're listening in, we are apologizing. We are trying to figure out what is going on. We will get him on at some point. I'm enjoying looking over some of these bills. One of the other things, we were just talking to Sheriff Reams about, here's two more that will affect the things that we were just talking with Sheriff Reams about. Senate Bill 271 will rewrite Colorado's misdemeanor laws by changing the maximum sentence for a Class 1 misdemeanor to 364 days in jail and a fine of $1,000, which is down, so a year in jail and a fine of $1,000, down from the 18 months in jail and a fine of $5,000. For Class 2 misdemeanors, the penalty goes from 12 days in jail and a fine of $750 down to the penalty would be 12 days in jail and a fine of $750 down from a year in jail and a fine of $1,000. How do we go from a year in jail to 12 days in jail? How do we get there? How do we punish somebody? How do we say that under a year, that today something that is punishable by a year in jail, tomorrow is only going to be punishable by 12 days in jail? All this does, and I think George Brockler said this well in my piece that comes out today that we talked about with Sheriff Reams, is criminals go, well, if I get right to that point, I can do this and this and this and this and get right up to the edge and not cross that line and not have to spend a lot of time in jail or not spend any time in jail at all because of the system, because everything's backed up, because the laws are being changed, because everything is so skewed. Now we have this problem. So I think we might have Hugh on the line. Let me double check here. It looks like Ryan is talking. Maybe not. So now we're reducing the penalties under Senate Bill 271 and Senate Bill 124. Another one. People convicted of felony murder in Colorado. Convicted of felony murder in Colorado will no longer be sentenced to life in prison. Not only have we gotten rid of the death penalty, but we've also gotten rid of life imprisonment. Now, instead, they'll face 16 to 48 years in prison, a sentence similar, we may have Hugh back, a sentence similar to that of second-degree murder. Okay, let's see if we can get Hugh McKean on the line. Hugh, are you there? Hugh?
I was just going to play with you and be quiet for a while and make you think I wasn't.
But. Oh, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that to me, my friend. Oh, my goodness. That's okay, because I was about ready to get to this heated spot where I was talking about Senate Bill 271 and Senate Bill 124. I just did an entire segment with the sheriff of Weld County and what's causing the backup of murder convictions in his jail and the crime rate and all this other stuff. And then while we're trying to get you back on the phone, I'm reading from this story that the Colorado Sun did. Colorado lawmakers passed 502 bills during this year's legislative session. Here are 65 that you need to know about. Wait a minute. 502 bills and you only want me to know about 65? No, I want to know about the other 400 and some that you don't think I need to know about. You know, 400 and some odd bills that they just want people to just bypass, you know, and just don't even worry about these. These will be okay. We know better than you do. You just do your little job at McDonald's and we'll take care of business down here at the state legislature. Was that kind of how the year went?
Well, I'll tell you, that's exactly how the year went. And I saw something the other day and somebody mocking a comment that I'd made about being exhausted. Usually in a year, there will be three, maybe four, maybe five big bills that do bad things to the people of Colorado. And usually, too, they wait for those bills kind of to the very end of session. And then we see them, you know, over the last couple of weeks, one a day. We have a long debate about it. And then, as we know, in the Democrat-held House and the Democrat-held Senate and the Democrat governor, we have a long debate about it. But in the end, they just pass it because that's what they want to do. This year, it started in the first week, and it kept going until the very end.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this, and it says that 623 bills were introduced, and 502 were passed. That's only 121 bills didn't pass. And I'm assuming that those 121 bills were the bills that were introduced by the Republican Party. Because I'm guessing that the other 502 bills, most of those were probably introduced by the Democrats. How do you pass 502 bills in a 120-day session? I mean, that's four bills a day. You had to be exhausted.
It's four bills a day. But here's what I'll tell you. Is that out of the 400 and some bills that the folks at the Colorado Sun say are part of the list you don't need to worry about, some really are just the work of the state. Some are just the things that we have to do. Things like, the budget, which has probably 50 or 60 bills that surround it to fund all of the things that the state does and that at least the Democrat-controlled legislature still says we need to do. The other things are like the School Finance Act and a host of other things. So of that 400 bills, you know, maybe there are 250, 300 that are the normal work of the state that we look at, and often if it's a big spending thing and a department that doesn't seem to manage its money well, we vote against it. But at the same time, it's the normal stuff. The bills that I get my collar up about are the ones that are, like you just said, criminal justice reform, bail reform. You get more police accountability. You get more bills that my favorite title of the whole year, providing access for Coloradans to certain public benefits. So basically welfare for folks who are here illegally.
Yeah.
We have all of these things that kept trumping up. And I mean, I swear, every day I would look at the calendar and I would say, because we get that calendar when they close the desk at night and they put it online. Every night I would look at that and then in the morning look to see if anything changed. Oh my gosh, I'd be looking at four or five things that require debate, that require an understanding of why are we changing policy? Why are we changing the entire way we do things?
It's amazing to me, you know, and I was just looking, I was talking with the sheriff about, you know, law enforcement and what's going on. And I was just noticing that Senate Bill 271 and Senate Bill 124 basically rewrote the penalties for misdemeanors and even felonies. Last year, you guys, and I'm not saying you in general, I'm just saying the legislature. Last year, the legislature took away the death penalty for felony murders. And this year, they've reduced the time in jail down to 12 to 48 years. So somebody goes out or 16 to 48 years. Somebody goes out and kills their mother. They're not even facing life in prison anymore. Where is this stuff coming from?
Well, most of this is coming from the mind of Pete Lee, who is a senator down in Colorado Springs. And to be very honest, I served on judiciary with Pete. I've had really great conversations with Pete about things, but never the ability to change his mind on any of this. He thinks that there is a necessity to completely reform the criminal justice system. And let me stop right there, because there is a need for reform in certain things. You know, I worked when I was here in Loveland to make sure that we don't just put kids, especially, in the system because no one else will take care of the problem. I used to say, if a kid breaks a window of a store, we don't necessarily need to file misdemeanor charges against that young man if we know who it is. We can take that young person straight to the owner of that store and say, are you willing to work off the payment for this window? Because, oh my gosh, that's like what we used to do in Mayberry with Andy Griffith.
Right.
I mean, right. This is the thing. It's like the common sense is gone. And so I worked for years on how do we keep kids from being in the system for doing things that kids do and then need to learn to never do again. And yet, you know, it's that old saying that if all you got is a hammer, then every problem looks like a nail.
Right.
And so the problem is that Pete Lee has decided that criminal justice is the big problem, and the hammer he has is a Democrat-controlled House, Senate, and the governor's office.
You know, it's just amazing to me. And going back to, going back to the exhaustion and the rushing things through 1266, you know, from somebody that was there when this all went down with House Bill 1266, kind of give the 30,000-foot view for my listeners just how fast that amendment, basically Senate Bill 200 being thrown into it, took place for you guys when you found out about it, and what was the final waning hours of that?
What are the FCC rules for profanity on the air? Am I allowed to say anything?
No, you are not.
So all I'll tell you is that what they did, they've done before. But what they did was they had Senate Bill 200. Senate Bill 200 was a terrible bill. It would have, it actually would have told employers when they can have their employees come to work. It would have said that if you're a business above 100 people, then only a certain number of people can drive their cars to work on a given day. It would have capped greenhouse gas emissions and created a cap and trade program. And so the governor, I think, smartly on a political side, said, I'm not going to be signing that. I'll be vetoing that bill. And so what happened was on the very, very last day, the folks in the Senate put up a 25-page amendment to another bill. So that bill was Senate Bill 200. This House Bill 1266 comes along in the Senate. And it's really a bill about making sure that the Public Utilities Commission follow critical race theory and figuring out where people have been disadvantaged from having access to inexpensive utility rates. And so a bill we don't like, but a bill that didn't do a lot, just talked about things. They amended 25 pages of Senate Bill 200 back into 1266. And I don't mean to just keep using numbers, but if I were to read you the entire title, we'd all go to sleep.
Oh, no, yeah, I understand.
So they amended one bill into another at the 11th hour. The Senate adjourned and left. And that's really important to know because we operate independently of each other. And so the Senate felt like they'd gotten their work done. They hit the gavel and out they went. And the challenge that we had, of course, is that now we have this completely unworkable bill. We want to try to change it. But if we change it in the House, it would need to go back and receive attention from the Senate, and it couldn't.
Right.
And so what they did was they just bore with us while we went through 7 hours of telling them what an amazingly bad, bad thing that they did. They did a bad. And what they did was just force it through, force us to take whatever it was and not listen to one dissenting voice.
Oh, of course not. It was more like a 3-year-old sitting at a table listening to his mother tell him they had to eat their spinach and just listening and not eating the spinach anyway. You know,
well, and that's knowing that the mother is never going to make you eat the spinach, right?
Right.
I can just
right.
Enough,
exactly.
I'm not saying that Braden was ever made to eat the spinach, but what I will say is this: that in the end, you know, we're asking for basic accountability of things.
Right.
We're asking for the basic accountability of saying, tell us what the impact is to the state of Colorado with this bill you just changed. And we don't often talk about the conversations we have in the offices off to the side of the chamber, but I pulled the governor's legislative liaison in, and I told him, this is inexcusable. This is one of those things that you think you can do because you have control.
Right.
But this is inexcusable. You just brought us a bill that fundamentally changes the way that the utility system works here. It institutes a type of cap and trade. It does all of these bad things, and you did it at the 11th hour through an amendment we can't change. And he just sat there like a kid being told to eat his spinach. And I did use some words I'm not allowed to use by the FCC. But what I told him was, this is the problem that it breaks down when you don't care.
Right.
When you don't care about the institution we serve, because the institution is all that's between the legislature doing bad things and the people of Colorado, the moms and dads who are now going to get an electric bill that they don't know how they're going to pay.
And now it's been sitting on his desk for a week while he determines which political side of the aisle he wants to alienate from.
Well, I think that's all of them. You know, so, I worked with Hickenlooper for 4 years, and I saw kind of how Hickenlooper did his job. And yeah, he'd make some people mad here and there. But remember, when he ran for Senate, nobody really cared because he hadn't made anybody that mad.
Right.
Jared Polis knows how to make people mad
right.
on both sides of the aisle. And it's kind of amazing that when we get down to it, there are people scratching their head every day over what this governor does on both sides
right.
of the political divide.
Right. You know, I just did a story on that's coming out today on the murder suspects in jail. And I had an opportunity to talk to the Adams County Sheriff, who's a registered Democrat. And it was funny when we spoke, you know, he made the remark, I have so upset my party. It's not even funny because even I and my office have come out against some of the bills that they've got going on down there. He said, because they're killing me. They're tying my hands. And so you're right. They're absolutely. So where do we go from here quickly in the last little bit of time that we have? What happens next? I mean, you got another year of session before we have an election again. What do we do in the meantime?
Well, first of all, we set out to do what my job is as minority leader, which is we elect more Republicans. And we don't just set out to do that on November, 7th of 2020. We set out right now to help every single person we can push back against a government that no longer listens to its people. And I actually think that that's probably the most important element of this conversation, that people need to understand. We have these really smart people who developed this country, who put it together, who put their lives on the line to make sure that we had a voice where they didn't have a voice against King George. And so right now in Colorado, we have Jared Polis, who thinks of himself as a king. He has that bill sitting on his desk because he actually doesn't care.
Right.
He thinks that's just his pen will either make it law or not. And in the end, it's a political equation, not a practical equation. So right now, today, people need to determine that they next year are going to elect people to push back and be the watchdogs on this government. Because that's what we do as Republicans. We stand there and we stand in the way of the people who want to change your way of life for the worse. And so that's what we can do. The other thing we can do is pay attention to what the legislature is doing. We need help, and I will be absolutely blunt and honest about that. Your legislators down there need your help. They need to know you support them. They need to know that when there are bills that affect the things that are important to them, that you'll show up, that you'll come down, you'll testify, you'll write letters. And I will give one last little piece of advice. We love to hear from you. But the people who need to hear that folks are outraged about something are the Democrat chairs and members of committees.
Correct.
So when you say, here's a bad bill, yeah, you can contact me all you want, and I will be happy to respond to you. But where I want you to spend your energy is write a letter, make a phone call, send an email, send a text message to every single Democrat member of that committee, and let them know that this affects your life in a negative way.
Perfect. Hey, I'm sorry for the technological problems, Hugh. I'm so glad you came on. Thank you, though. It was a wonderful conversation. And, man, get some sleep over the next few hundred days, because I'm sure you've got another 120 that are going to be crazy next year, too.
Thank you, Sherry.
You bet. Have a good one. Sherry Pife, in for Gale, Auto Collision Specialist Studios, 1310 KFKA.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA. If you miss any portion of Mornings with Gale, go to 1310kfka.com to download the podcast today. Back to Gale.
Welcome back, everybody. We are nearing the end of today's show. Sherry Pipe in for Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios here at 1310 KFKA. Again, call in line 970-353-1310 or feel free to text us at 970-478-1310. Just got done talking to my friend Hugh McKean, and for full disclosure, Hugh is a friend. I met Hugh outside of politics. Actually, I met Hugh when I was campaigning against him for another candidate over in House District 51. So I've known Hugh for a while, but he's doing a great job down there at the State House. And I'm so glad that he was able to come on and talk a little bit today about what's going on down there. And, you know, one of the things that he said at the very end of the segment was that the thing that you can do the most is contact your rep. Contact the reps, and not necessarily your rep, because every time you contact, you know, Hugh McKean and you say, I really hate this bill, you're kind of preaching to the choir. Hugh's point is you should be contacting the Democrat committee chair people and the leadership in the Democrat Party. And that's exactly true. And I just want to give you a really good example of how that works and why that works. I caught wind a couple weeks ago about the city of Lakewood was going to put a massive tobacco tax increase on the ballot this coming November. There was a bill a couple of years ago that allowed cities to opt out of their share of what they call an excise tax on a pack of cigarettes. State of Colorado collects $1.94 for every pack of cigarettes. They then take 27% of that $1.94 that they collect, and they send it out to all the communities in a proportionate share of how many cigarettes they sell. And in exchange, communities don't put their own taxes on cigarettes. So a bill a couple of years ago allowed communities to opt out of that excise tax and instead enforce their own special tax or their own taxes on tobacco. So back in April, but the city councils would have to opt out of it first. So back in April, the Lakewood City Council opted out of the excise tax. Keeping in mind, just because the Lakewood City Council opted out of the excise tax doesn't mean the excise tax is not charged on a pack of cigarettes in Lakewood. People who smoke still have to pay the excise tax. So technically, people in Lakewood or anywhere else where they've done this, they've done it in Boulder, they've done it up in the mountain towns, people are getting double taxed because now they're paying the excise tax that their community is not getting, but they also are now going to have to pay the special extra taxes that their community puts in place. So back in April, Lakewood opted out of the excise tax collection, and now they were going to put before the voters in November a massive increase in tobacco taxes. When they had the discussion at the work session, the tax increase was going to be 30%, which would have made it about $9.50 a pack of cigarettes if they had a 30% tax on top of that. Well, at that time, of the 9 city council members in Loveland or in Lakewood, probably about 6 of them were in agreement with it. They were extremely okay with that. They were going to move it forward, send it, you know, to a full count regular council meeting. And that's what they did. They told the staff to bring it to a regular council meeting. Well, I did a big story on it, told everybody about it. But in the meantime, what happened was they had their first meeting, and at their first meeting where they were going to talk about putting this on the ballot, they put it on the consent agenda. Well, for anybody that knows anything about a consent agenda is for routine daily business, such as paying the bills and signing checks. It's not for having a discussion about a massive tobacco tax. But by putting it on the consent agenda, what it did is kind of quietly slide it under the radar and not let people know it's coming for a public session or for a public input. So I did an update to it. I also went on several Denver area shows to make sure that people understood that this public hearing was coming before them and what they needed to do in order to keep it off. Because in the meantime, what they put on this consent agenda was not the 30% that they originally discussed. It was a 20% increase, but it had the caveat that the city council in Lakewood could raise that special tax anytime it wanted without going back to the voters up to 50%. Well, fortunately, because we were able to get the news out, Lakewood City Council was inundated, swarmed with hundreds of emails and letters and people testifying not to do this, so that this past Monday night, when they voted on whether or not to send it to the voters, it failed 7-2. So contacting your representatives is more important than ever. And that is one example of where contacting your representatives can keep things from occurring. We kept the special tax off the ballot in November for Lakewood residents, and that was because of getting the information out and contacting the residents. It is now 8:50, and this time check is sponsored by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse, where Shrek, the musical, takes center stage through August 22nd. For tickets and show information, visit coloradocandlelight.com. Sherry Pife, in for Gale.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. The day's headlines, podcasts of mornings with Gale and more, and a schedule of upcoming sports broadcasts. Find them at 1310KFKA.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Sherry Pife in this morning for Gale on Mornings with Gale, 1310 KFKA and 1310KFKA.com. Coming to you from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We have a few more minutes left. I can't believe the show is almost over. I'm, like I said, by the end of the day, I'll finally be, nerves will be gone, and I'll be back to normal again. You know, when you don't do this very often, it takes a little bit, but we're good. So tomorrow should be really smooth. I'm super excited to be back here again tomorrow. You know, just to wind down on these bills, I found one more bill that, you know, I'm going to go back to Senate Bill 271 and Senate Bill 124, where we're reducing the length of stay in jail for criminals. 124 is the one that really gets to me. We get rid of the death penalty. Whether you agree with that or not is irrelevant. But now we have not only gotten rid of the death penalty, but now we've taken it from life in prison without the possibility of parole down to 16 to 48 years in prison. So you have people like my friend Scott Sessions, who he and his girlfriend are brutally murdered by a jealous madman. And if he is found guilty of those crimes, he is going to be able to possibly be up for parole at some point in his lifetime after taking the lives of two innocent people. And I really struggle with that. But then we move over to Senate Bill 280, and this was a bias-motivated crime, also known as a hate crime. And, of course, they expanded that. You know, they take away the sentences of the people who kill people, but then they expand motivations and everything. So this bill says that and here's the kicker, bias only needs to be part of a defendant's motivation for the offense to be considered a hate crime. So I don't know, if I go to McDonald's and I get a really bad hamburger and I'm having a really bad day, and I take my hamburger and I fling it across the counter and it hits somebody who works at McDonald's standing behind the counter, and it happens to be a really hard hamburger, which is why I was mad at it in the first place, and it hurts the person standing behind the counter, because my motivation for the offense was my bias against McDonald's ham. I know I'm going to an extreme here, guys, but this is my problem. We have bills that contradict each other. We have bills that take away sentencing from people who commit the most heinous crimes of all, and we let them out of jail early. And then we create another bill that is completely subjective when it comes to whether or not somebody does something because they don't like the color of somebody's skin or the sexual identity of somebody. It's hard for me to understand how you can even attempt to prove that. But it is what it is. You know, I guess we'll see what the next session brings and what tomorrow brings. But in the meantime, Sherry Pife, in for Gale.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Back tomorrow, in for Gale, Sherry Pipe. We will have Greeley Director of Parks and Recreation, Andy McRoberts, Colorado GOP Chairwoman, Christy Burton Brown, former Greeley Mayor, Tom Norton, and alt-resident and political activist, Kalita Troxell. Please come and join us. It'll be fun. This has been fun. 1310 KFKA, Greeley, Windsor, Loveland.